Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Second hour on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. The college football coaching carousel is maybe the craziest it's ever been. At some point during this year, we've gotten midseason firings at Penn State, Florida, Arkansas, Auburn, LSU, and much more, and Virginia Tech. But that is the first big one that is closed now. James Franklin is going to be the next head coach for the Virginia Tech Hokies. And as a lifelong Hokie, you know, grew up going to games, went there, I think this is an absolute home run, grand slam hire for Virginia Tech. I mean, in terms of recruiting, the one guy who has been, I would say, the most impactful in the downfall of Virginia Tech football is James Franklin, because he just poached all of the talent in the DMV and in the 757 for years. Now you have that guy on your side. I think Virginia Tech, again, I don't think they're going to win national championships. And I've seen some Virginia Tech fans who I follow on Twitter saying, why would we make this hire? He can't win the big game. And my response is, I'd love to lose a big game. Like, let's get back to big games. The Titans, not Titans. Virginia Tech has not won 10 games in a season since 2016. And get me to 9-3. Let's do 9-3 again instead of 6-6, or this year probably like 4-8. So I think it's a grand slam hire for the Hokies. He's apparently going to be introduced tomorrow. Going to be at the game against Miami on Saturday, and lots of former Penn State recruits are going to be at the game on Saturday as well.
Oh, I'm sure. You make a great point about that. It's a home run hire, but you got to use it kind of like how the Titans use Mike Vrabel. Can he elevate this program? I think James Franklin's one of those coaches that can elevate the program.
Yeah.
Maybe not to a national championship standard, but definitely an ACC contender where you could possibly win a conference championship once or twice, you know, in a couple of years.
And I think it's a perfect fit for Franklin, too, because, again, doesn't have to change his recruiting base. This is the same region that he has dominated for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you're in the ACC. Like, I saw rumors of him going to Arkansas, and Arkansas, you're getting pulled away from your recruiting base, and you have to compete with the big boys in the SEC. Like, James Franklin, I think, is a good coach. But James Franklin at Arkansas, I think his ceiling goes down, because do you think even with Franklin, if he's still a great recruiter, which I think he is, do you think Arkansas is going to be more talented every year than Alabama and LSU and Georgia and Texas? No. But you go into the ACC, Clemson is clearly in a free fall right now, and who knows how long Dabo is there, who knows if he can turn it around. Florida State might fire Mike Norvell if they can muster up the buyout money. There is no superpower in the ACC right now. I don't know if Franklin makes Tech a superpower, but he immediately puts them in the conversation moving forward. And I think that's what James Franklin wants, is he wants an easy path to the ACC championship every year, can get into the playoff, and you'll see what happens. I don't think the Hokies will ever fill that empty national championship trophy case that they've had in there. Well, they don't have it anymore, but they had for years. Did you know about this? In the Virginia Tech football facility for about 10 years, maybe 15, from like 1999 after they lost the national championship to about the end of the Beamer era, there was an empty trophy case that said, this case is reserved for the national championship trophy. They got rid of it after they went 6-6 for a few years in a row. But I don't think Franklin ends up doing it. But for Virginia Tech, the expectation is just get back to where Beamer had them. And Beamer was James Franklin of always had you in the conversation, could never win the big game. And I think if Franklin can get them back there, Virginia Tech fans will build him another statue.
Yeah, 100%. You look at the ACC and you make a great point. There are really no top dogs in the ACC. The only one that comes to mind for me right now would be obviously they're not great this year, but SMU, Rhett Lashley, if they can kind of figure some things out this upcoming offseason, that's a team that can be true contenders with a team like a Virginia Tech.
Well, it's wide open right now, and SMU definitely should be in that conversation. They just extended Lashley. They've got lots of money down there, and I think they could be competitive. You never count out Clemson and Florida State because they have resources, and I think they're going to be in the conversation every year. Miami, of course, has plenty of resources. They'll be in the conversation. But it's not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten.
Right.
Like, the biggest issue for Franklin was he couldn't beat Ohio State and Michigan and Oregon this year, the big dogs in the Big Ten. None of the quote-unquote big dogs in the ACC even compare to what you're seeing in the Big Ten and in the SEC. So, and again, Virginia Tech fans, the expectations are so low right now. Like, you've lost to ODU three times in the last 7 years.
It's bad.
If James Franklin can just beat ODU consistently, I think he'll be okay for a while. So I think this is great. Franklin was also able to negotiate his buyout down, so he's getting a $9 million lump sum from Penn State, which I'm sure helps Virginia Tech with some of the finances. I think it is exactly what both of these parties needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think Franklin maybe was leveraging the Hokies to see if Florida State opened up? Possibly.
That's where I thought he would go before all this took place. Is Florida State going to pull the trigger on Mike Norvell?
Right. But with Florida State, it's, what, a $60 million buyout for James Franklin? So that's you got to spend all that money and still have money to pay James Franklin and give him the NIL request that he wanted. And I didn't know if that was ever realistic, but I thought it was funny. I was talking with some of my friends this weekend and saying, I really hope Tech loses by like 30 to Florida State this weekend. You got to play chess, not checkers. If Virginia Tech goes down to Tallahassee and beats Florida State, maybe they fire Norvell and you don't get James Franklin. You got to lose that game in order to get James Franklin on board. Mm-hmm. And there you go. He is a Virginia Tech Hokie. He'll be introduced tomorrow and in their in-lane stadium on Saturday. So, you know, as somebody who's grown up rooting for the Hokies, I think this is great. I want to care about Virginia Tech football again, right? Like, I still go back there for games, and I enjoy them, and Enter Sandman is great. But I remember as a kid going to games when Virginia Tech played Nebraska and Ohio State and Clemson. It's like you go into those games, and you're like, this is a massive game. If we win this, we might be in the national championship conversation, even though Tech was always kind of in the 7-10 range. But there haven't been many of those games lately. I'm hoping that James Franklin can get them back there.
I can see it in your eyes. You've looked all this time. The Detroit Tigers have tried to supplement your sadness, hadn't got there yet. You go and find another thing, and I don't know whatever else you like watching, but, I mean, Hokies football has not been there for you.
I mean, I'm not the most – I don't have the worst conglomerate of teams that I'm a fan of, but it's got to be pretty close. I mean, been a Titans fan my whole life.
Phoenix Suns,
Tigers, and Virginia Tech sports. It's not been great.
I had to go across the pond. The Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, got a championship.
You got a championship this past October.
Honestly, Vanderbilt, you know, being my adopted team since I've moved here, like, that's giving me the most hope right now at 8-2. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Bob has called in wanting to chime in. Bob, thanks for calling. What you got?
Hey, question was, Franklin going to Virginia Tech. Do you happen to know how many years Vanderbilt have Virginia Tech on the schedule? Do they play next year?
No, they do not, but I did see some Vanderbilt fans saying that they should extend that series now.
I was wondering. I knew they had 2 years. I was wondering if it was three. Alrighty.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Bob. Yeah, sadly, that series, at least for now, has not been renewed. So,
do you imagine? Oh.
Virginia Tech's schedule next year is not – it's not a – oh, I put 2016. 2026 schedule. It's not, like, crazy, and there's the server error, so never mind. I can't get to it.
I can just see the Virginia Tech promo video, the house Franklin built. I can just see it now. That would be great internet fodder.
Well, it was funny. If you haven't seen it, Tech put out a pretty good hype video when they announced him last night. It was the College Game Day clip of, we thought we were going to win a national championship. Here, guess we're going to have to win one somewhere else, and it flashes to Lane Stadium.
That's pretty cool.
Again, not that I expect that. But, yeah, next year, James Franklin's debut will be against VMI in Lane Stadium on September 5th. Other big games at Maryland. And then James Madison comes to Blacksburg for the first time
since beating
the Hokies in 2012. That sounds about right. I think it was Tyrod's senior year. It might have been 2011. Mm. And then in the ACC, at Miami, at Clemson on the schedule next year. So that'll be tough. And then, of course, Virginia, Georgia Tech, NC State, Pitt, and others. So James Franklin, next head coach at Virginia Tech. Excited to have a little bit of hope for the Hokies for the first time in a very long time.
Happy for you.
And we'll see how it works out. But there are a lot of other dominoes that need to fall in this coaching carousel. We got some spicy news out of Oxford yesterday. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Little tech triumph on this Tuesday morning. Hokies getting James Franklin. Biggest hire that, Tech, they failed with Justin Fuente, failed with Brent Pry. They could still fail with James Franklin, but it feels like the best that the Hokies could have done yesterday. And they bring in, a guy who had Penn State in the conversation every single year. We'll see what he can do in Blacksburg. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. I thought maybe you were going to play the hokey pokey there, which
Tech triumph seems
tech
appropriate.
Good. Hokey, hokey, hokey high.
Might I just add, for those that are listening to the show, probably need to chime in on YouTube and look at this guy, Jake Lyman, smiling
we're
ear to ear.
We're having a great day.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen you this happy.
Yeah, I mean, Tech football, it used to be like a big thing. Like, I loved as a kid going down to Blacksburg on a weekend. Like, I'd miss school on Friday. We'd spend Friday downtown, go to the game Saturday, and the games mattered. They mattered. We had players on those Tech teams.
Dogs.
I mean, look back at the history of Tech football. There's plenty of really good players there. The Tyrod era is the last one. Logan Thomas was good, but the Tyrod era is where it's like, that's my childhood right there. Let's hope we can get back to something similar to that. I love it's funny. There were some people out there who were saying, why would James Franklin go to Virginia Tech? Including Craig Carton, I believe. He WFAN in New York. He basically put out a whole spiel last week of why would James Franklin go to Blacksburg? Like, that's below him.
And tell him to get back in his locker.
Well, and it's funny. Today he tweeted out, he goes, why are Tech fans celebrating? Enjoy the Pinstripe Bowl. I'm like, okay, so first, James Franklin's too good for Virginia Tech, but now he's not going to do anything here? Okay, I don't know. But anyway, it's a great day. The Hokies have finally made a splash hire. Other news around the coaching carousel, and actually, I was going to go with Lane Kiffin here, but I do want to ask the question since we're on James Franklin. What are the thoughts going on in Happy Valley right now? I mean, I'm sure part of it is very happy that they don't have to pay the full $50 million buyout. They're only paying $9 million.
Right.
But who are they going to hire at this point? Like, who is out there for Penn State to go get and you can universally say that's an upgrade from James Franklin?
There's not really anybody right now. That's the sad thing about it. Like, again, I brought this up with, I want to say it was Trey Wallace a couple weeks ago, about Dan Mullen potentially. Like, that's a guy who's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's a spot that he may want to go to, but he's at UNLV. He's content from what he's told media.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd spend every dollar I got to go grab Dan Mullen. I really would.
Well, and all of their top targets have signed extensions now. Like, I think the three that were named the most were Matt Rhule, Kurt Cignetti, and Mike Elko. All of those guys have signed extensions. So where do you go next? I've been seeing that Penn State is looking at JMU's head coach, Bob Chesney, and it's like, well, that was Virginia Tech's backup plan if they didn't get James Franklin. So you're going to fire James Franklin and then go take the plan B for the school that just hired your old head coach. Does it make a whole lot of sense?
Not really, but I can understand why they'd look at a guy like Bob Chesney. And he, to me, he's Kalen DeBoer 2.0. Because before he was at JMU, I believe he was at Holy Cross and a few other like smaller schools.
Right. It's kind of the guy who everywhere he goes, he wins.
Correct. Yeah, and he was winning conference championships everywhere in whatever division it is. And overall record is 129-51. In bowl games, he's 2-0. That's pretty good. The fact of the matter is you're proving yourself at JMU. Give him about two or three more years, and that's the issue. When you look at a team like Penn State, a college in Penn State that way, it's tough to find another guy to follow up James Franklin because we all saw it. They went through a little small phase after the Joe Paterno days. They couldn't really have a true contender of a head coach.
They had Bill O'Brien for 2 years, and didn't really then he left. Out. I mean, he went to the Texans. But, like, James Franklin established Penn State as a team that – yeah, maybe they weren't the elite of the elite in college football, but they were always going to be right there. And I understand that eventually that runs out, right? Like, the expectations get raised to a certain point where it's like, if you don't win the big one at some point, we have to go try and find somebody who will. But who is it? It feels like they went into it feeling like they could get Matt Rhule or Kurt Cignetti and thought that would be an upgrade. And now that those guys are off the market, you're kind of flailing to go find somebody else.
Yeah, and I'm just going to throw a name out there. He's at Liberty, and he was actually in contention for that Mississippi State job before they hired Jeff Lebby. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh,
Jamie Chadwell?
Jamie Chadwell. He was at Coastal before Liberty.
Yeah, so I'm just throwing that name out there. I'm sure there's no direct connection there. But if you're Penn State, you're checking off every box. You're looking under every rock. You're going everywhere to find your next head coach. Because right now, like you said, every one of those guys they want to go after all got extensions. It's a tough job to fill.
Yeah. And Craig on the text line asked about the coach from Memphis. Surely he'd take a bigger job somewhere. Ryan Silverfield. I know he's been in discussion, but I look at some of those guys in the American who are being thrown out there, Golish and Sumrall and Silverfield. Does that really fit? I know region isn't everything, but, like, I don't know if they could go from the South and go up to, State College, Pennsylvania, and have the same success, right?
Like, yeah, because you're playing against teams like Ohio State, the Michigans. I mean, Michigan State's getting there for the most part, but still, Ohio State, the number one team they can never seem to beat year in and year out. That's your number one priority.
Yeah, and again, the expectations are high. You fired James Franklin because you thought the grass was greener on the other side. So whoever comes in is going to be expected not only to match James Franklin, but be a national championship contender. Those are really high expectations, and I don't know if there's anybody out there right now who can meet them.
I don't see it. I mean, do you go after a guy like Dan Lanning?
Right. I mean, I guess that's a call that you would make, but would Dan Lanning leave?
No.
Maybe.
Right. I promise
he's not leaving.
I think Dan Lanning, there are jobs that maybe would tempt him. I don't know if Penn State would be that job.
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. It's still the same conference. You're still in the Big Ten, which is kind of weird to say.
Yeah.
But you go to a team like Penn State that maybe gives you a little bit more resources. I mean, obviously, you're out in Oregon. They're already giving you everything. They're giving you the moon,
you
with
got
Nike and so forth.
Phil Knight.
Right. But I don't know. Maybe something – there's a historical factor with Penn State, the tradition of things. I don't know.
Well, that's what you thought with Matt Rhule, who Penn State graduate, great friends with their AD. Like, that seemed like the slam dunk, and maybe things just didn't work out the way they thought they would. But it feels like the Vrabel situation with the Titans of you had a coach who was good, maybe a little bit prickly at times, maybe not the most well-liked person among media and fans.
Right.
And as soon as he fails, you fire him. Like, Vrabel, I think everybody looking back can say you probably should have given him another year. But he went 6-18, and you could tell that maybe there was enough disdain there that it was like, hey, he's given us an excuse. We're going to fire him. Same thing with Franklin. He was there. You couldn't fire him when he was winning. He loses 3 straight games. Boom. Gone. And now you're looking and saying, man, is there really anybody out there who's going to be better than James Franklin for us?
And you mentioned the American Conference. If you look at a guy like Alex Golish, sure, he's done a really good job at South Florida, but can he do it at the next level?
Right.
And I think you already mentioned that, but like that's my only concern. You go out and you beat teams like Florida early in the season that were ranked. You're beating all these ranked teams early on in the season, and then you kind of, I wouldn't say bottomed out, but you've lost a few games where you probably should have won.
Yeah.
So that's something that's concerning. I mean, you go to a Power Four conference team in Penn State, they're going to give you more resources. So a guy like Golish, maybe that's what he needs to elevate his coaching stature.
Well, and I think there are programs that you can take an up-and-comer and the fan base would be thrilled with it. Like Arkansas, I think, is a perfect example of that is a job that you go get whoever the hot group of five coach is, and the fan base is going to be excited about it. But for Penn State, you hired a guy who had you, 3 minutes away from going to the national championship game last year?
Yeah.
You don't want the guy who hasn't done it at the Power Four level. You expect to be able to poach somebody else's coach. It's like Penn State expects to be LSU in Florida right now with what's going on. Of, hey, we can go get whoever we want because we're Penn State. It doesn't seem like that's the case.
No, it's hard to fill those jobs, especially in the Big Ten. Those two big conferences in the SEC and Big Ten, those should be money-making jobs. But in reality, they're kind of not right now because nobody – it's hard to fill those jobs.
Yeah. And 8395, I think, makes a good point. Who is Penn State going to try to poach who would be interested in Penn State over LSU? And that's a great point, too, of you. Penn State didn't know this when they fired James Franklin, but you jumped into a coaching carousel with maybe the most competition ever. You've got four SEC schools looking for coaches right now, and it's seeming like there could be a fifth that becomes part of that as soon as Lane Kiffin makes his decision. So, I think Penn State, I think there's some regret up there. Maybe James Franklin was never going to win them a national championship, but I don't know whoever they go and bring in is going to have them playing better.
It's kind of like the Mike McCarthy situation with the Cowboys. You're going to go 12-5 every year. Would you sign up for that?
Right.
Absolutely. And I think Penn State fans are short-fused to the point where they didn't want to lose three or four games this season and said, you know what? Maybe it is time to move on from, which is, again, like you just said, I think it's a bad move. It really is.
I mean, it was years and years of coming up short, and I get that gets frustrating, but sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. We'll see what Penn State's able to do. As I feel like Eli Drinkwitz has been a name that's been out there. And
not sold on him.
Is that an upgrade? I don't know.
It almost is a lateral move in a roundabout way.
No, I mean, it's an upgrade for Drinkwitz. Like,
sure.
Penn State is a better job than Missouri, but like...
That's what I'm talking about for Penn State's sake.
Right.
From their vantage point, I think it's a lateral move.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see how it all works out. Mark on the text line says Bill Callahan's schedule is wide open for Penn State. Brian Callahan, too. Chris in Nashville asks, explain Franklin's contract getting negotiated down. So basically, with the offset language... He could have gone to Virginia Tech and just taken no money up front, basically. At least this is how I understand it. They could have backloaded his deal. So let's say it's a 7-year deal. I don't know what it would end up being.
Right.
But they would put all the money that Tech is paying him at the back and just backload it. So they're not paying him as much at the beginning, and Penn State has to pay the offset of whatever he was owed at Penn State.
Right.
So instead, they negotiated it down. Penn State's giving him a $9 million lump sum now, and they don't have to pay the offset anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
At least that's how I understand it.
That sounds about right.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll continue to talk coaching carousel on the other side. We will get to Lane Kiffin because there's a lot going on down in the deep south at Ole Miss.
Add some Cajun spice, baby. It's heating up.
We're getting into it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Talking the college football coaching carousel, which is spinning rapidly. We've already discussed James Franklin going to Virginia Tech. The Hokies trying to reestablish themselves in the ACC. Penn State kind of left fumbling with who they could go get that would be an upgrade from James Franklin. But some big news yesterday as well on 3 reporting that the Ole Miss athletic director and the athletic department have given Lane Kiffin an ultimatum of the Egg Bowl coming up next Friday night to decide his future, whether he's going to stay at Ole Miss or go coach at LSU, Florida, or any of the other schools or NFL teams. They could be searching for his services. I always thought Kiffin was going to leave, and then there was a time where he was coming out and talking about it and saying, like, I'm happy, and I was like, all right, maybe he doesn't want to leave. But the reports are that his family was in Gainesville on Sunday. They were in Baton Rouge yesterday. It's looking more and more like he is going to be bolting somewhere. And the question becomes, what does that do to Ole Miss the rest of the season? This is a 10-1 team that is basically a lock for the college football playoff. Does your head coach bolt before the season even ends?
I am smiling ear to ear when I'm about to tell you this.
Yeah, I know you are.
Last Saturday, I was on with Connor, and we were chatting about this. Actually, this past Saturday, And we were chatting about this. I was like, look, I'll make a bold prediction now. Mississippi State is going to lose against Missouri. Then they're going to go into the Egg Bowl, hosting Lane Kiffin in Stark Vegas, beat them to get to 6 wins, go to a bowl game, and Kiffin's going to have his ultimatum, and he's probably going to have to choose between LSU and Florida.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, if your family's out there shopping, going to another place, more than likely you're out of the door.
Yes.
And even if they go 10-2, I heard Chase and Joe talking yesterday, I think it was Joe that said, even if they go 10-2, they're still make the playoff. For me, we're talking about the College Football Playoff Committee that is – it's off their bias. I don't think they would include a 10-2 Ole Miss team.
Well, think about this. Florida State 2 years ago, 13-0, ACC champions. They get left out of the 14 playoff because their quarterback was no longer healthy. Mm-hmm. Jordan Travis broke his leg. He was done for the year. Would the committee, if that all plays out, Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State at the end of the year, Lane Kiffin bolts, and guess what? 30-day transfer portal window opens up right after he leaves. Maybe some of the players hop in. Does the committee take into effect that you don't have your head coach anymore? Lane Kiffin could be gone at that point. I don't know if this is how it would all play out. I would think Lane Kiffin would want to finish out the year with this team. But Ole Miss may say, hey, if you're leaving, we're not letting you stand on our sideline while you're about to go coach for LSU next year. So this is... this is really, really interesting stuff because it could not only have an impact on the overall landscape of the SEC moving forward, but on the College Football Playoff this year.
Guess who it also factors in? You're wearing it on your shirt. Vanderbilt. If they take care of business, they go 10-2, they're another team that is back in the conversation of the College Football Playoff.
Yeah.
Because, look, right now we all saw the Alabama loss over the weekend. That was bad for Vanderbilt. You needed them to win. And now you have Oklahoma that potentially could be upset in the coming days and this Saturday. You need Vanderbilt to take care of business. And if all this does, like we're talking about, takes place with Lane Kiffin, it puts Vandy right back in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we went through Vandy's playoff math yesterday, and it looks a lot worse than it did a week ago. You still have a chance to go 10-2, and as I said yesterday, you've got to make the committee leave you out because 9-3 makes it easy on them. 10-2, they have to make a decision. And I do wonder, Mississippi State would be a much worse loss than anything Vanderbilt has on its resume. Of course, Ole Miss has better wins of Oklahoma and who else did they beat? Oklahoma and there was one other good one. Maybe Oklahoma is their only marquee win. But if Lane Kiffin is no longer on the sideline, it does throw a wrench in things for the committee. I'm not saying that it would happen. And in my opinion, I think the committee should go straight off the resumes. You don't punish the kids on that team because their head coach decided to leave.
Yeah.
But I would have said the same thing about Florida State. Is that team went 13-0. They won all of their games. They won a Power Four championship. You don't punish them because of a fluke injury. Even if it means they get blown out by, I guess they would have played Michigan. Mm-hmm. Even if it means they get blown out by Michigan and you don't get as good of a TV product, I would have argued that Florida State should have been in. They went the other way. I would argue that Ole Miss, even if they're 10-2 and Lane Kiffin leaves, it shouldn't affect their College Football Playoff standing. But you just never know.
That sounds right. I mean, again, I'm going to lean the other way because one Mississippi State fan at heart can't see Ole Miss look great at all in any aspect
right.
of life. But no, this is definitely put into factor for sure. This committee, that's I think the biggest flaw with having a person by person committee is voting in and out of who's in the playoff for this situation. Because if that 30-day window does open, if Kiffin does leave,
right,
they're not going to feel the team. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like I understand resume, you do base it off that, but what are you fielding out there?
Well, you remember last year there were the reports that came out of playoff teams having to pay their players just to not leave because. Mm-hmm. The portal was open. They wanted to get a head start. You had to get enrolled in your new school by a certain date, and they basically had to pay these guys just to not leave. If your head coach is gone, people are going to leave. And I know the transfer portal window doesn't – oh, it's much shorter this year. It's only 15 right. days in January, but it would be an absolute mess if Lane Kiffin leaves. But I also understand Ole Miss's athletic department saying, hey, you can't just string us along like this. Like, we need a decision. I'm sure they've offered him an extension with a raise, but they need him to choose. 7268 on the text line says, am I the only one who thinks Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss for LSU or Florida is a bad idea? He could stay at Ole Miss, go 10-2 or 11-1 every year and be a king. And I agree. I think Lane Kiffin has established himself in Oxford. The fans like him. Mm-hmm. I think he can recruit there. And he's going to be in the conversation in the SEC every single season. But being in the conversation isn't good enough at LSU or Florida, right? Like, you've got to go win. Everybody wants to win championships, of course. But at Ole Miss, I think the expectations are lower.
Yeah.
And that could change. Just like James Franklin. If Lane Kiffin continues to go 10-2, 11-1 over and over, but can't win a national championship, eventually the expectations get raised. But you go to LSU right now, they're not looking for you to go 9-3, 10-2 next year. They want you to immediately put them in the national championship conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at in years past for LSU, all the coaches besides Brian Kelly have won national titles. I mean, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles,
yeah,
and so forth. Nick Saban.
Right.
All those guys.
That is the expectation, is rings in, yeah, LSU.
So you can't just go factor in, well, you need Lane Kiffin. He's going to win you the big game. That, like you said, that's the expectation. Like, I have one of my best friends, Trey. He's from Louisiana, Baton Rouge. That is the expectation every year. I mean, this past year was a lost season because Brian Kelly's isms have basically worn dry.
Yeah. It's exciting to see all of this going down, but you just don't know how it's all going to sort out. Craig on the text line says, over under on the number of SEC fan bases throwing golf balls at Kiffin by the end of his career. I mean, you could easily envision it getting to 3 just like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ole Miss, and then if he fails somewhere else, or if he goes to LSU, ditches him to come to the Tennessee Titans.
Do you think this Lane Kiffin thing, if it does take place and he does leave Ole Miss, you think it opens up the SEC's recruiting, like, wide open when it comes to portal stuff?
Yeah.
Because Mississippi is a hotbed for recruiting.
The portal is going to be absolute chaos this year, because not only all of the major coaching changes, but they've also shrunk it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be basically wild, wild west. Like, you could enter as soon as your team season is over and go all the way through into January. It's 2 weeks now. So you're going to get a flood of players in and a flood of players out. Like, it's going to be chaos this year.
To be a fly on the wall in admissions offices. Just to be a fly on the wall. I could only imagine.
It's going to be a mess. And the first domino fell in the coaching carousel yesterday. James Franklin to Virginia Tech. Penn State still looking for a coach. All four SEC teams still looking. Arkansas, Auburn, LSU, and Florida. One of those schools could take Ole Miss's coach and Lane Kiffin. So much going on, and we'll get some resolutions over the next couple of weeks, and likely leading to more chaos. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, I did want to spend a couple of minutes on the Preds, mm-hmm, as they return from Sweden. Don't play again till Saturday. Might be time for some changes over there in Smashville, but we have not seen them yet. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, finishing up the second hour on the program. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you here today. Just went through the college football coaching carousel because it's starting to heat up. James Franklin to Virginia Tech, Lane Kiffin has an ultimatum coming up in 10 days to decide where he is going to coach moving forward. But I did want to talk Preds a little bit, because the Preds are back from Sweden. They split the games against the Penguins, an overtime win on a Steven Stamkos game winner on Friday afternoon, and then on Sunday morning, blown out 4-0. And now you come back, you don't play again till Saturday. I don't know enough about hockey coaching to know whether Andrew Brunette should be fired. I'm not the person to come on here and say one way or another. But obviously the results haven't been very good. And
you're right, that's my job.
Yes, Parker's our hockey expert here on the program. The results haven't been good, and I think anybody looking at it can say the Predators need to change something. You're not going to be able to change the roster all that much during the season. So the easy thing to say is that the coach needs to be let go. And I know there are plenty of big hockey people on our station and, you know, listeners who are advocating for Andrew Brunette to go. My question is, if they were going to let him go, wouldn't yesterday have been the day?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get back and you have 5 days to transition. It's hard to fire a coach midseason, whether it's in baseball or basketball or hockey. And honestly, I'd argue hockey is probably the hardest of the three. NBA coaches, I'm sure they do great work. They don't do much, right? Like, I'm sorry. I don't think an NBA coach has all that much effect on whether a team wins or loses.
More player-driven than coach-driven. Understandable.
Right. Hockey, I think, is different where the coach does matter. Their system and the way they manage a game is very important. And it's hard to swap a guy out when usually you're playing 3 games out of every 4 days, basically. The Preds have a stretch coming up starting Saturday where they're playing 5 games in 8 days. So I just wonder if they were going to make a move, I feel like it would have come yesterday to give this team as much time to transition, whether it's Luke Richardson who takes over the interim head coach, which would be my expectation, or maybe you go in a different direction. Give that team enough time to make the adjustments and get ready for Saturday's game and getting back into the swing of things. It is interesting to me that we have not seen anything yet because the way things have gone, you've now lost 6 out of 7, 9 out of 11, whatever it is. A change probably needs to be made at some point, and this is the spot on the schedule you look and say, that's an easy place where you can make a change. If they haven't done it yet, it may be a little bit.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned their upcoming schedule. It's pretty hefty. I mean, you're going up against a team like Colorado that's been kind of dominating the NHL for the most part. Florida, obviously one of those teams that has been winning Stanley Cup championships time and time again. Detroit's on the come up. Chicago, iffy.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's always contending. Just that's a slew of games where you need at least half of those to be wins.
Right.
Because you can't afford any more losses. Right now they're sitting at, what, seventh in their standings right now, if I'm standing correctly? Yeah, seventh in the Central Division. So you look at a wild card spot. I mean, again, no hockey savant here, but it's what, 22 is what it said on the stats here? Yeah, 22 points is where Golden Knights hold that second wild card spot. They're sitting at 16 right now. Win at least half those games, and hopefully they end up losing a few here and there. Need some chess pieces to fall your way, but again, it's got to just win games.
Well, yeah, and it's like you look at the standings, and you can say, well, they're only 6 points back, but they're 6 points back on the Golden Knights and Blackhawks, who both have played 2 less games than you.
Right.
And not only are those two teams at 22 points, Utah's at 22, Minnesota, Edmonton, Vancouver has 20. It's like you've got a sea of teams that you have to climb through. It just doesn't seem all that realistic that this team's going to make a run. Now, we would have said the same thing 2 years ago when they went on the 19-game point streak, which gets thrown around a lot around here.
Yep.
Likely not going to happen again. And again, it's like with hockey, with any sport, there's only so many things you can change to try and fix things on your team. And the offseason is the time to change the players. The Preds really didn't do that this year. They said, you know what, let's add a few pieces. Nick Haig, Nick Perbix, Eric Halla, and some of the young guys. Matt Wood has been great since he's come up.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if these high-priced veterans we brought in can get back to their old forms. It hasn't happened. If you're going to make a change in season, it pretty much has to be the coach. And I'm just wondering if we haven't heard anything yet, if we're going to hear anything anytime soon. Because, again, you get 5 days off. That doesn't happen very much in the NHL. If you look at the schedule, maybe you're looking ahead to, I mean, I guess the Olympic break is in a couple of months. Like, that one could obviously make sense. But that's a long way away, right? That's still almost 3 months away.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Elliot Friedman always says by American Thanksgiving, if you're not in a playoff spot, you kind of start making moves, right? I think that's we're approaching that little mark. I mean, that little precursor of American Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe you look at that. I mean, we're only a week and a half away from that, so that's.
Yeah, no, that is very true. And I'm not saying that they couldn't change their coach without a 5-day break. Like,
right.
You can make that change at any time, and I'm sure that they can be prepared for it. But
it just felt like this was a spot that made sense. With the way the team has been playing, you get 5 days off. Barry Trotz exercising patience at this point. And maybe there's a move coming today. We have no idea. But I just thought that was interesting because, you know, again, not being somebody who's tuned into any of this, I kind of, after seeing the 4-0 result on Sunday, I expected at some point yesterday to possibly see news that he had been let go. And to not see it, I think hints that maybe Barry Trotz is going to continue to exercise patience with his coach.
Hey, patience is a virtue, as they say. Look, I'm with you on this. I think yesterday would have been a good time to at least put out some form of a, not white smoke or black smoke, electing a pope in some aspects, but at least some indication of a direction. You know, just at least some
right.
something of that along those lines. But
Ben on the text line says, the Blues changed their coach midseason and won a cup. Let's do that. Ryan O'Reilly was on that team as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
One thing is a coincidence. Two, it might actually be causation. Maybe they can go out and get somebody this year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Highly unlikely that a coaching change midseason would do anything for the rest of this year. But it at least allows you to see what you can do without Ange Brunette. You could maybe get a trial run for, if it is Luke Richardson who they brought in, former Blackhawks coach. Mm-hmm. Carl Taylor's another guy who gets brought up a lot. I don't know if they would make that change midseason, but Carl Taylor down in Milwaukee, obviously part of the organization, has done a nice job. I know his name has been mentioned. It was mentioned after John Hines got fired, so we'll see. We'll see. The Preds at this point have not made a move, but you're right. Things need to turn around quickly. You get back into action after this long off period on Saturday. You've gotten a chance to practice. Maybe they can start to string some wins together. But lately, it's not been very good.
They just can't afford to trade somebody right now. Like if they end up splitting, let's say, their next 4 games, 2-2, that, again, leaves you on the fence of, I think we need to move on from one or two of these players just to kind of offload some money or something along
right.
those
well,
lines.
Right. Well, if this trend continues of the way they're playing, they're going to be busy at the trade deadline. They're going to make some moves. But it's not time for that yet. It could be time for a coaching change. But we'll see. The Predators have not been – like we talk about the Titans being quick trigger and very like, hey, we're going to make a change because of the A.J. Brown trade or, you know, he – smacks the goalpost, and guess what? We're going to fire John Robinson. The Predators are very calculated when they make their moves. They're not going to rush into anything. So maybe they're thinking about it. Maybe they're not. We'll see what Barry Trotz elects to do moving forward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll get back into football. The NFL is down to the last 7 weeks. We're heading down this stretch, and there are some very interesting things in the standings, starting with the Kansas City Chiefs. The team that we all know is inevitable. They seem to always find their way to the Super Bowl, but they're 5-5 right now. Could the Chiefs miss the playoffs? Could they be playing on the road for the entirety of the playoffs? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.